Business Matters is proudly sponsored by Print Supplies Frosses. With 21 years in business, Print Supplies provides managed print solutions with local support and remote ink monitoring, saving your business time and money. Print Supplies, your local printer and photocopier company.
Hello and welcome along to another edition of Business Matters on Highland Radio. I'm Chris Ashmore. Later in this week's programme, I'll be looking at how the Donegal Local Development Company is establishing a Donegal Repair Cafe network to help grow community-led repairs and skill sharing locally. It's looking for volunteer fixers who can share their repair skills and also host venues, that is, community places that can become a repair cafe. Before that, however, my main focus of attention is the Knockalla Caravan and Camping Park, which overlooks the spectacular Ballymastocker Bay. Run by the Doherty family, it was established back in 1977. Patricia Doherty, a daughter of Colm and Helen, who developed it over the years, is now driving the business forward, and next year it'll celebrate its 50th anniversary. Patricia is also the chairperson of the Irish Caravan and Camping Council. So it's busy times. I popped down to the Knockalla Caravan and Camping Park recently to get a feel for the place and to find out more. Patricia, welcome to Business Matters. We're looking out over Knockalla Caravan Park here, the lovely views. You're celebrating your 50th anniversary here next year, the park. So tell us about how it all started.
Thanks, Chris. Thanks for coming down. Yes, so we are in business 50 years next year. It started, obviously, my dad a long time ago. He was 1977. and his brother then joined him for a number of years working together. And then he changed career and dad continued on. Mum then obviously was involved as well. And it's been a family business ever since.
And I suspect the early days, it was quite different from what we are looking at here now.
Yes, so every year we try and do some little thing to change or improve the business. But yes, starting back then, it was not as you see it right now. There was only a small number of static mobile homes, and a lot of the pitches would have been for touring caravans or, I suppose, motorhomes or anything like that. Yeah, it's definitely changed a lot over the years. You can see we have about 130 static mobile homes now and two areas for touring caravans and motorhomes and a couple of different tent areas as well. So it's definitely increased in size and, yeah, it's definitely a lot different now. So,
and no surprise that you are now involved in the business because you grew up, this was part of your life.
Mm-hmm. Yes, yeah, so I've been here my whole life. I don't think I've actually missed a single summer. I grew up here. It's an absolutely brilliant way to grow up. You know, we had our summers playing outdoors and making friends every year and grew friendships here as kids as well. So, it was a great upbringing and I'm delighted to be involved in the park and working alongside mum and dad. So,
now tell me a little bit about the actual sites around. There's hard stands, soft stands, there's tents. So just explain a little bit about the difference between them all.
Yeah, so you have your static mobile homes. They're the permanent ones that are here. People can come and they're privately owned, so they use them throughout the season themselves, come and go as they want. Then we have our touring pitches and motorhome pitches. They're all hard stands. They have electric water and grey water to each pitch and grass then at the side if they're putting up an awning with the caravan. They come on a shorter term basis, so for a couple of days, a weekend, or longer for a week or 2 weeks, whatever, you know, they want. And then we have the grass areas as well for tents. We take small tents and we have electric provided for them if needed.
And the static, the permanent ones, some of the people here have probably been coming here from more or less the start.
Yes, we have a lot of families that the parents had caravans here 30, 40 years ago. The parents are still here. They grew up their kids here and they now have their own individual caravans and are growing their children up here. So there's three generations of families on the site, which is, it's really lovely to see. You've seen families, they've been part of your life for generations as well. So it's brilliant.
And some of the families who come down, they may not see each other outside of the time that they're actually here.
Yeah, true enough. Like, because they don't live close to each other at home, but then they come here and they see each other. So, yeah, it is a real community here on the park.
And where do most of the people come from who are regulars here?
We have a number of families actually from within Donegal. So we have ones from Milford, which is obviously about 10, 15 minutes away. And then we have ones from Letterkenny, Balbuffet. Then it extends into the north. So we have obviously Strabane, Belfast, you know, all around Northern Ireland. And then we have one family who are from Cork. Right. So the opposite, complete opposite end. But so it really ranges.
Now, as we look out, everything in tip-top condition, everything looks very fresh. Are some of the older ones, do they get replaced over time?
A lot of carving parks do have a policy in place that you have to renew after 15, 20 years. We haven't implemented that yet. I'm not sure if we will, but we have, like I said, there's generations of families here. If we were to implement that, some of them wouldn't be able to afford a new caravan. So we're very happy with our clientele and we would hate to lose any of them for that reason. Caravans now are a lot more expensive than they would have been in past years. So we understand that they are a large investment in people's lives. So we would hate to lose a family and someone who we've considered, you know, a friend over so many years for that reason.
And you can see, obviously, that people have that attachment to them. They're taking care of them. Some of them have got decking out, and we can see a few satellite dishes. I mean, they're all in great condition, so there's a real pride.
Yeah, of course. Everybody that comes, they want to keep their caravan in as good a condition as they can. We help them out of any maintenance if they need anything done with the caravans. They all have decking underneath and around the side of them. I think it just finishes off the caravan really nice. And then they paint them whatever colour they want.
Now, we're also looking out over, there's a play area here, plenty of play equipment, so it's paradise for youngsters, letting off a bit of steam, and over the years, obviously, that's been developed as well.
Yes, so we've invested greatly into the play park area. We have a zip line, there's two slides, number of different swings. There's kind of a gym kind of setup for anyone. I seen a guy with his dumbbells down in the park a couple of days ago and doing his different exercises. So it's for older people as well as the younger ones. A couple of years ago, we put in a smaller climbing frame set. I have a daughter myself and she's five. So the larger one that we have, you realise whenever you have kids that you need something a bit smaller. So we invested again there a number of years ago and put in a smaller climbing frame, another roundabout and a set of swings for children. So we're continually investing and trying to improve the facilities we have.
And you can play football out there and tennis courts as well?
Yep, so we have a tennis court, football area. There's lots of obviously outdoor space and there's basketball hoops as well, so they can get out and work off all that energy.
And the way we're located here, it's actually quite sheltered and we're back a bit from the beach. So just outside of the park, it's just a short walk down the road and then you're onto one of the most famous beaches in Ireland.
Yes, I definitely believe the mountain does provide a lot of cover for the bad weather that we get in Donegal. But we developed a pathway that takes you straight down to Ballymastocker Bay. It only takes you about 5 or 10 minutes and it's nice and safe for the kids and families that they want to go down to the beach. So, yeah.
Now, what about seasonality? Obviously, the summer months are busy. So off-season, there's always some people coming and going?
So we are open from, normally falls around St. Patrick's weekend in March till October. After the Halloween break, we close down. So the park does shut between those times. Between March and October, people can come and go as they please.
If we look at the changes over the years, in recent times, we've seen an explosion in the number of people who have motorhomes. So that's a whole new area of business.
Yeah, so since COVID, everybody wants to get out. Everybody has a motorhome. I think last year in 2025, there was 22,000 registrations of motorhomes in Ireland, which is amazing to think. So it's great that people are wanting to get out and travel around Ireland and see the beautiful country that we have.
And for those who are not in the know about the whole motorhomes, people who are going out in the motorhomes, in advance, they probably plan where they're going to actually call and stay each night. So if they come here, what are the services that you can offer?
Yeah, so most people, they like to book online and have their route planned. Now, to be fair, the beauty of having a motorhome is that you don't always have to have it planned or your route organised. But especially in the lower season, people can arrive at wherever their destination is and most likely get availability. We have a shop on site. We have a games room for the kids with pool tables. There's a laundry service available and toilet shower facilities, camper's kitchen, all the essentials that people need. During the summer as well, we actually do fresh home-baked croissants and patty pans and Danish and that kind of thing that people like to have in the morning, freshly made. And also we have the coffee machine, so we can make you fresh coffee every day.
So there's a lot going on. It's a busy place, particularly during the summer. And for the local economy, you are an employer, so there's people getting part-time and full-time employment, so that's great.
Yeah, definitely. The more I think there is in an area, the better for everybody. We've been employing people here, obviously, for the last 49 years, and you know it's a great asset to the local community. And also the shop is open to the local public as well, so they can come in and get their essential bits as well, because Port Salon, there's not a shop in it currently, so we do provide that service for the local community as well.
It's a pretty big site. No doubt there's a lot of maintenance is required every day. There's always jobs to be done.
Yeah, as you can see, there's a lot of space. So we have a lot of grass, and we're very lucky with our employees that we have, and they're great. So they are the backbone as well of the business. So there's a lot of maintenance that people don't see.
So your typical average working day, tell me a little bit about it. Is it a 9 to 5, or is it a case that you're rarely actually off?
Yeah, so it varies depending on when the season is, to be fair. During the summer and the busy season, we're in from 8 o'clock in the morning, and the shop closes at 8 o'clock at night, so we're full time. You're replying to emails, you're dealing with people, customers coming in. It does obviously change then in the quieter season, but the work phone is diverted through to my mobile, so you're always on call for that. So, it's great. It gives me a little bit more flexibility in being able to look after. I have a 5-year-old daughter, so it's great for being able to pick her up from school and be there for her as well.
Now, we were talking before we just started recording this just about changes over the years, and one particularly big change, that the whole area of online booking. So just tell us how it was before and how it is now, because big differences.
Yes, definitely. We used to take all the bookings individually over the phone. So if somebody rang, you would take the booking. If they rang and they missed the call, you'd have to ring them back. So it was a lot of, a lot of work in trying to get one booking. And then obviously you'd be only taking the bookings within certain hours. Whereas now with the online booking system, it's great. People can, if they're, on a Friday evening having a conversation with their friends about where they want to go the next weekend, they can just go online and make that reservation right there and there. They don't have to deal with somebody. It's just so much handier and easier for everybody.
And what about camping? Do many people still use the old traditional tents?
Yeah, there still is a lot of interest in camping. Again, since COVID, people want that their own space. They want to be able to, go around and visit different areas with their tent. We take smaller tents here now. A lot of people do have larger 6-man size tents or larger again. But at the minute, we just keep it to 3-4 man size tents and smaller. So, yeah.
The whole advent of the Wild Atlantic Way was a massive boost for tourism right throughout from Cork up to Kerry up to here in Donegal, and no doubt for yourselves it's added to your business.
Yes, absolutely. We have gained greatly from the Wild Atlantic Way, and having a services like the Fannad Lighthouse. It's a great attraction for people coming to the area. It's one of the places that we always recommend to people to go and visit when they're here.
The whole Mulroy Drive is now marketed. There's a website there, there's brochures. So somebody staying here, this can be a base and they can go out and be it for a couple of hours or a full day tour. There is a lot out there.
Absolutely. People would stay here for a week maybe and then they go out and see what is in the area. And there's lots of things to recommend to people. So it's great to have the Mulroy Drive and the brochure and the map for everybody to use.
Over the years, you've won a number of awards, so that's always nice to get them. Indeed, Highland Radio Award as well.
Yes, so this year we got the Highland Radio Best Caravan Park in Donegal, so that was really lovely, and it was a brilliant night out.
Over time, you have to be right up there in terms of maintaining standards and constantly improving, because the bar is always on the way up.
Absolutely. There's so many amazing campsites in Donegal and further afield. So yeah, you're always wanting to do the best you can and provide the best service you can for people coming to stay with you.
And the feedback that you have maybe from people who are not from Ireland, maybe people from continental Europe who are coming here for the first time, how do you find that? Do a lot of them, are they surprised just what is actually here?
Yeah, I think a lot of them, they can't believe how green it is and how beautiful it is. Like, we're so, so blessed in this country to have such good scenery, and even the drives along from Rathmullen to Port Salon, that drive there alone, it's one of my favourite. So yeah, people, they just can't believe how beautiful it is. They do mention the weather, but I think if we could have put a roof on Ireland, we'd be good. But obviously the rain is what makes it so green and beautiful. So we have to take, you know, the good with the bad. So, but yeah, when the sun shines in Donegal especially, it's the best place ever.
You're listening to Business Matters on Highland Radio with me, Chris Ashmore. So having sat and got an overview of the business with Patricia Doherty, we then went outside for a look at one of the new mobile homes on the site, and she gave me a guided tour.
Patricia, we're standing inside a new mobile home here on site, which is actually for sale, and it's still got that lovely new fresh smell about it. So periodically there are ones available for sale.
Yeah, so we have a couple of new ones for sale at the minute. This is a 2025 Carnaby Melrose. It's 42 foot long, 12 foot wide, and has three bedrooms.
And outside the sliding doors, there's the decking?
Yeah, so it has a wraparound decking with a sliding front door in the sitting room. So you can walk out from your living area in onto your decking and round to the other side. And lots of space for a barbecue area, for your tables, chairs, all your outdoor, you know, wants.
And inside, I mean, it's fitted out. It's really modern. It's really comfortable. We've got the view down to the beach in the background. And for people in the future, this will be home from home.
Absolutely. Everybody wants a sea view. And that is one thing that when Dad was planning out the site initially, they always tried to give, you know, maximise the privacy for each of the caravans and to provide a sea view where possible. So, yeah, hopefully if whenever it gets sold, it'll be somebody's new second home.
Yeah. And every new modern mobile home, you've all mod cons. You've got the electric fire here. We've got the kitchen, double glazing, really well insulated. I'm sure it's a huge development from what was here 30 years ago.
Yeah, so definitely. I think caravans, whenever they were made in the early days, they didn't even have a toilet or a bathroom in them. So, yeah, so you've got multiple, you can have even dishwashers and caravans now. This one doesn't, but you have your double fridge freezer, whereas previous it would have been a standard table or fridge, a smaller fridge, you know. So it's taken into account for the larger families, for people that are here for longer periods of time as well. So it's, yeah, they're very modern these days.
And typically, how many people would sleep in a mobile home like this?
So this one is three bedrooms, so it can sleep six in the bedrooms. And then in every caravan, you have a pull-out bed, so another two people. So typically eight if you want.
And so if somebody was buying this, they pay an annual site fee and they can come here as often as they want?
Yeah, so they pay a site fee each year, and that provides them then with, you know, the use for throughout the season.
You're listening to Business Matters on Highland Radio with me, Chris Ashmore. I'm with Patricia Doherty at the Knockalla Caravan and Camping Park. Join us again after this break.
Business Matters is brought to you by Print Supplies. Based in Frosses, Print Supplies has 21 years experience delivering managed print solutions that save you time and money. With remote monitoring and local hands-on support, they take the hassle out of printers and photocopiers. Email sales at printsupplies.ie to find out more.
Welcome back to Business Matters on Highland Radio with me, Chris Ashmore. This week, I'm taking a look at the Knockalla Caravan and Camping Park, which has been in operation for almost 50 years. With the summer season now virtually upon us, things are beginning to get busier. And for Patricia Doherty, her work involves not just managing here, she also has a national role.
Patricia, you are chairperson of the Irish Caravan and Camping Council. Firstly, congratulations. Tell us a little bit about what that role entails.
Yes, thank you. So I was elected in November. It's generally a three-year role. So the Irish Caravan and Camping Council, also known as the ICC, is the representative association for caravan and camping sector in Ireland. So we work with Vuelta Ireland, Tourism Ireland, and we represent our members on a national level, working with those. And we provide support and advice for our members. We have about just slightly over 100 members throughout Ireland. We have members in Northern Ireland as well. So, and then we have trade members who are, you know, camper motorhome hire and sales as well, so selling camping equipment.
So when you all meet up, it's a chance to share and discuss problems, opportunities. There's always a bit of lobbying to be done. And then your annual general meeting, no doubt decisions are made about things, and that's something you'd like to see maybe held here in the future?
Absolutely, yes. So a lot of our members are obviously spread throughout Ireland, and we choose an area each year to have the AGM. So this year we are going to Westport in Mayo, but definitely next year I would like to bring it to Donegal.
And what are the biggest challenges that places like yourselves would have at the moment?
So there's obviously a lot of business difficulties. No matter what business you're in, you've got the VAT rate, obviously rising costs within the industry. Yeah, insurance, definitely. There's just a lot of different things, but we do lobby to the different national bodies as well. So, yeah.
And how do you feel the tourism season is going to be this year with all the geopolitical uncertainty? Can you sense that here, that there's an element of sort of people are holding back a bit?
A little bit, yeah. So obviously with the booking system, you can see when the bookings are coming in for. Maybe it's just me, every year you do kind of hold your breath a little bit and see what way things are going to go. But yeah, definitely with the rising costs of petrol and diesel, you do worry that maybe people won't be traveling as far. But again, when people weren't able to travel very far back a couple of number of years ago, we were very busy, and we were very lucky that we have a lot of local tourism. So even people within Donegal. So I'm hoping for a good summer and a good season ahead, but you always just do be a bit wary.
Because there's a certain amount of certain volume of visitors here that they're coming, they book in advance, doesn't matter what the weather's going to be. A lot of the continentals who come, they're not coming here for the weather in the first place. But if we do get a super summer, you also get a bounce from that.
Absolutely, yes. Last year was a real mix, but it definitely was better than the previous couple of years. So the weather does have a major impact on how the summer is going to go. The summer itself is quite short, so you do just hope that number of weeks that you get a good spell in there somewhere. So, we are positive. We are hopeful it will be a good outlook.
And just back to the Irish Caravan and Camping Council, if people look at their website, and indeed there's probably other websites, no doubt there's maps of Ireland showing where all the different locations are for facilities like yours.
Yes, so we have the camping guide as well. So they have a physical guide that you can see each of the campsites and what they provide. And there's a map then at the back that does show where all they are situated throughout Ireland. But also the website campingireland.ie, that has all the information there too. And it will lead you to each of the campsites as well where they are.
And with social media and on various online platforms, it's probably easier to get publicity now than it was years ago, and people have videos and there's clips of places, so it's easier to market a place.
Yes, absolutely. Like, everybody has a phone these days and is posting where they are and what they're up to, so in a way it is marketing yourself as well. So yeah, we have our own Instagram, Facebook pages. It definitely makes marketing a lot easier.
So then from a revenue point of view for the caravan park here, you get income from the static sites, and then there's the income from the people who are coming for a night or two in the mobile homes or the tents. So different things are pitched at different levels, you know, different price points.
Absolutely, yes. So you have your price for your touring caravan and your motorhome and your tent per night. The static mobile homes, they have a site fee they pay yearly.
And then for services, like with the mobile home or the motorhomes coming in now, you have to provide the supports there with electricity and things like that. So again, that's more capital investment for you.
Yeah, so we used to have pitches and they would have electric only at the pitch, but a number of years ago we invested and they're now what you consider super pitches. So they have the electric hookup, a water connection directly to each of the caravans, and you have your grey water removal as well, so you're draining the side of the pitch. So it has all the facilities that the touring caravan or motorhome would need. And you're not having to go to a water tap to fill up a bucket or your tub. So, it makes it a lot easier for everybody coming to stay.
Would it be fair to say that Donegal was lagging behind for motorhomes up till quite recently, that the facilities in the county were not there, but we have caught up now, and it's very much, you know, you've people who'll be going all over Ireland and they will want a certain standard.
Yeah, so we have in the ICC, we have 5 member parks in Donegal. There are other parks within Donegal too. So obviously a call out to the other ones that want to get involved with us. That would be fantastic. So there's a number of facilities surrounding Donegal.
And as we look forward to the summer ahead, are you pretty upbeat about what's in prospect?
Yeah, so you have to keep your head up and, you know, a good positive outlook. You just kind of focus as well on what you're doing and making sure that the service that you're providing is of a high standard for everybody, and that whenever they arrive, they can come in and literally switch off and be able to relax as soon as they get here. So, I'm hopeful it'll be a good summer, and fingers crossed that the weather will play ball.
And away from the work that you're doing, how do you unwind? What's your escape from the pressures of work?
Probably myself, it would be the gym. So I do CrossFit in a local gym in Letterkenny. So it's my way of unwinding and switching off for an hour.
Because it is important to get that escape from day-to-day things. You need to clear the head and you're refreshed afterwards.
Yeah, definitely. I think especially in this, the way things are at the minute, everybody needs their little thing that they do themselves. So, yeah, that's mine.
And that was Patricia Doherty of Knockalla Caravan and Camping Park, who is also the chairperson of the Irish Caravan and Camping Council. Following on from the success of Donegal Local Development Company's Repair Cafe events last year, efforts are being made to help grow community-led repairs and skill sharing locally. The network will offer expert speakers, training and practical resources to support local repair cafes, helping communities share knowledge and also to reduce waste. As part of the process, DLGC is currently looking for volunteer fixers who can share their repair skills and also host venues. DLGC's Community Development Manager is Martin McDevitt, and he's been telling me more. Martin, last year there was a project which essentially was sowing the seeds for this whole idea. Maybe you can give us a little bit of background to what's already happened.
Yeah, exactly, Chris. Yeah, there was a specific project funded through the local authority. So Donegal County Council had approached ourselves at DLGC that if we would assist with delivering a pop-up repair cafe project as part of an EPA repair and reuse funding call in 2024. Essentially, the target was to establish one pop-up repair cafe in a community venue in one of each of the 5 municipal districts. And for that to happen, then we needed to obviously recruit volunteer fixers, as we call them, to do the repairs at the cafes. That was a specific one-off project. That funding ceased. The project is over, and we had fantastic work and fantastic success across the entire county. So then we, in the SICAP team, which is the Social Inclusion and Community Activation Programme, we had decided to inherit that kind of project and concept, because we had tried it initially as well ourselves previously. So we wanted to build on that and make sure it was going to be sustainable and there was a bit of legacy around the repair cafes. So we've now created the Donegal Repair Cafe Network with those five initial community venues and their, you know, original existing volunteer fixers, and then to build on that, to open it out to other community venues and community locations that maybe want to set up a repair cafe, they're not sure how to do it. You know, we're building a resource kit, you know, like a toolkit or an information pack on kind of how to run a repair cafe in your community centre. With more repair cafes coming on, Chris, we actually need more volunteers. So the fixing and repairs is done voluntary. So we had a campaign there recently looking for expression of interest for people. The existing volunteers that we have, fantastic group and range of skills, and you know, we obviously can't expect too much travel commitments, you know, across the kind of the geography of the county. So ideally we would like to see volunteer fixers come from the local communities to support the repair cafe in their local community venue.
And just explain for people who may be not too familiar with the whole concept of a repair cafe. In essence, it's about helping local communities in repairing goods, skill sharing, and also there's a whole reduction of waste and an eco side to it as well.
Yeah, exactly. All those are extremely valid points to the ethos of a repair cafe. So we're we're trying to reuse particular items where it's safe and possible to do so, and avoid sending items to landfill. Obviously there's kind of constraints of what we can do from a safety point of view in terms of we didn't focus on electrical items. What we did do was like textiles, toys, furniture, garden tools. A lot of requests and a lot of skills from our fixers in kind of clothing repairs, toy repairs, and garden tools was another one, so that they can be reused again. And obviously to try and keep the kind of the ethos of the circular economy going in terms of reusing items so that we just don't throw it away, and or having to replace it. As I was saying, like with five pop-up repair cafes in this project to start with, and there was quite a range there of the activities in each one. Obviously, it was very much dictated by what the volunteers in that area could repair. It's not for like big, time-consuming or kind of extensive repairs. It's maybe resewing a teddy bear or fixing stitching on an item of clothing. So de-rusting garden tools, handheld garden tools was another popular one.
Donegal Local Development Company is currently looking for volunteers within its catchment area. So you're looking for volunteer fixers who can share their repair skills. And you're also looking for host venues. And long term, you'd like to see maybe venues dotted all over the county.
Yeah, we would. We've had a good response from community organizations that would like to hold a pop-up repair cafe, whether they want to do that on a regular basis, or it might be maybe once off for a particular, themed part of the year. That's up to them. But we'll help you get up and running. From our shared learning, we've had a great learning experience in the initial project. We had visits there to other repair cafes in other parts of the country, and also meeting and training with other volunteer fixers. So We would ideally want to see kind of pop-up repair cafes in every local area. We offer a range of supports to volunteers. We operate Donegal Volunteer Centre. We also have training and information sessions for the volunteers, to obviously appreciate they're donating their time and skills for free. ultimately, we'd love to see this far and wide across the entire catchment.
Now, if people want to find out more, they can go to the DLDC website or contact you by phone. And there is an expression of interest form. So if somebody downloads that, is it fairly straightforward?
Yeah, so there's, across all our social platforms, we have posts up there on kind of our main platforms, Instagram and Facebook. We have links there to a Microsoft form, so it's a very short Microsoft form. Fergal Daly, one of our team members, he leads up the Repair Cafe network. Fergal is contactable on email by F Daly, F-D-A-L-Y at dldc.org, and Fergal can send out the expression of interest form that way, or you can give us a call at DLDC, or go onto our website dldc.org, or any of our socials there, and we'd love to hear from people. And even if it's just to find out what's involved, and maybe for the future, or maybe for somebody that you know. It's just basically where you're at in the county. So kind of where's your location, kind of how far you're prepared to travel to volunteer as a fixer, what skills you have to, what items you can fix. Is it like teddy bears? Is it furniture, chair legs? Is it, it's a very short form, Chris. We have then formed, as we were saying at the start of the conversation there, a network which we're going to meet periodically throughout the year. There'll be, some in-person supporting capacity events. There'll be offline kind of support there available too.
And worth pointing out that there may be repair cafes who are outside the ambit of the DLGC, but, there can be commonality there and maybe some crossover.
Yeah, exactly, because we've already done some fact-finding trips to other repair cafes outside the county. We all had to start somewhere, and so it's been great to be able to share experiences from other places, other places that have been established for some time, others that are kind of new to this as well. It's all about peer support and about sharing that learning and experience, especially when there's a lot of common themes around the repair cafes in each location too.
And that was the Donegal Local Development Company's Community Development Manager, Martin McDevitt. Well, that's it for another edition of Business Matters. As always, thanks for tuning our way. From me, Chris Ashmore, may I wish you a healthy, happy and profitable week ahead. Until the next time, goodbye.
Business Matters is proudly sponsored by Principalize Frosses. With 21 years in business, Principalize provides managed print solutions with local support and remote ink monitoring, saving your business time and money. Principalize, your local printer and photocopier company.